So when I chose the title for the message today, and Emily, she always goes through and finds the picture for the front of the bulletin, and she said, that'll be easy. And I told her, I said, well, you know, this swoosh or whatever will work for that. I don't have any, I hope I'm not violating any copyright restrictions, but the idea is just do it. Prayer. Just do it. I think that's what God is calling us to do. And when I picked that title, I didn't necessarily endorse the NFL. I'm not necessarily endorsing Nike products. In fact, I probably go the opposite extreme and not buy Nike products. That's my political statement for the day, which is probably enough. And I'm not endorsing anything. It just happened to be a great word when we stop and think and we can all identify with that just do it idea and that just do it thought. And so when we think about prayer and we wonder, what's it look like? What kind of people pray? What's a prayer chain? What's a covenant prayer group? And we all have an image, I'm sure, of who and what and how and why we do it. Some people, I think, may think prayer is maybe a weak alternative to something that we need to do for people that are sick or people that are in need, so we'll just pray for them. Hopefully we pray for them believing. For some people, it's an alibi to do nothing. We talked about this a little bit in class this morning. You know, I'll tell somebody we'll pray for them, and then we never do. Kind of an alibi to do nothing. Or sometimes offering to pray for someone is kind of a graceful way of getting out of an awkward situation. I received a call from Young's Funeral Home this week asking me if I could do a funeral, or as I call it, a celebration of life next week for a 77-year-old lady. And I said, certainly. And so I called and talked to the gentleman, the widower, the other night. And how often do we think about people and pray for them? How often when someone called the Holy Spirit wakes us up at 4 o'clock in the morning and runs somebody's name across our minds. And we look at the cell phone next to our bed and it's 409. I asked that question because it happened today. It's unfortunately, but maybe fortunately, becoming kind of a common occurrence. And I'm thankful for it. Don't get me wrong. But what do we do with that? What do we do after that? I got a note the other day from someone. Said, God woke me up and told me to pray for you. And I wrote back and said, thanks. I'll take it. I read a story this week about a man who was doing a training video on prayer. And he said at the conclusion of it that someone came up and tapped him on the shoulder and said this, you know, I think this prayer thing is a great idea, but I'm afraid it might get out of hand. The speaker said, what do you mean? And he said, well, people can get caught up in praying that they wouldn't do anything. And he said what concerned him was that they didn't say they wouldn't do anything else. They just wouldn't do anything. And he said, I looked at him and told him that I had never seen a church that had prayed so much that they needed to be told to slack off. Never been told to stop praying or quit praying, that you've prayed enough. And I think about Paul when he was in prison in a dirty, nasty, cold dungeon and prayed for us. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I'll spend the first 3 hours in prayer. James was called camel knees, it says, because of the calloused knees that he had from being on his knees praying. And John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, it said of him that he got up at 4:30 every morning to pray. I beat him by 21 minutes this morning. But there was a need and there was intent on praying. And so, as I said, we have that image of James and Paul and Wesley and all those people. And we think, well, I can't measure up to that. That's not me. But God never asks us to measure up to Wesley, to measure up to Martin Luther, measure up to Paul. He didn't ask us to measure up to himself, really. We're unique. We're created. He wants us to measure up to ourselves. And so what prayer says is there's never nothing I can do in a situation. I can always pray. And so I thought this, you know, about that, and the idea just kept running through my mind of just do it. And the thought was that prayer is something that we can do anywhere. Driving down the road, sitting at our desk at work, maybe talking to someone on the phone. I know you have to be careful because you might offend somebody, tell them you're going to pray for them. And you might offend them if you tell them you're going to pray with them. I don't know how that could offend anybody, but it does. In most cases, no one's ever going to know you're praying for someone. It's not something that we stand out and just yell it out, but it's communication with God from our heart. I love this. I saw this week and said it's undetected and goes at the speed of thought when we're thinking about something. Debbie read earlier from John, said, I assure you, most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me will do greater things. And I love the way Mark says it, because Mark says you can pick up snakes, poisonous snakes, not intentionally. And I don't think that's what he meant by the snake handlers in West Virginia, because I would be out of that church in no time. But what he's saying there, that if we believe in him, the things that he did, he raised Lazarus from the dead. How much greater things can we do than what he's saying? And when he was praying, and I love what he prayed here, because he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What he was doing was praying for us in his future. He wasn't praying for those right then, although he was, but he was praying for us for the future. And so we think about our children, and we ask God to protect our children. We ask God to watch over our children and keep them safe. We're praying like Jesus in the future. And prayer is one thing that Satan cannot interfere with. He cannot set a barrier between us and God when we pray. There's no way that he can do it. And so that prayer idea and that prayer of praying for our children is an inheritance that we can leave for them. People that you talk to, they can avoid you very easily. They can, you know, you flipping through the TV, somebody was telling the illustration one day that somebody was watching television, they were channel surfing, going through it, and got on his particular channel, and then the remote broke. Now, I don't know how much truth there is to that. You know, you can make out of that what you want. But God can get a hold of some of the simplest things and get a hold of our heart. Read the story this week of a lady who was getting ready to put a pie in the oven. And she'd received a call from the school that her son had a serious fever, and she had to get to school to pick him up. And she got there, the school nurse said, "You need to get him to the doctor immediately." All the time, the pie was in the oven. She didn't know what to do, and she gets him to the doctor, and while he's in the doctor, you know, he's getting examined. She ends up taking him home, has to go by and buy a prescription, comes out of the pharmacy and realized that she's locked her keys in her car. She said that she had nothing else to do but just ask God to help her. And some guy came along and was asking her what the problem was, and she told him, and he says, "Well, I can help you." And so he got a coat hanger and he unlocked her door. And she says, "You must be a really nice person." He said, "I'm not nice at all. I just got out of prison." She says, "Well, at least God sent me a professional." You know, and when we pray, God does those things. He doesn't send an amateur. He sends a professional. There's a parable in Luke that talks about a lady, and it's in Luke chapter 1, chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. And this lady goes to the ruler, to the king, because she has someone that has brought some ill charges against her, and she's trying to get justification for what has taken place. And he tells her to, in essence, to go away. She comes back and he tells her to go away. And in verse 6, he said, "Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? I tell you that he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith on earth?'" That she prayed and continued to go back. And in biblical times, they didn't have any Social Security. They didn't have any Medicare. They didn't have anything. The only thing that they had in most cases was the husband providing for the wife. And we were talking about that also in class this morning, about how wives and women were subjected to inequality and subjected to some of the rudest and crudest things that could have happened to women, with no rights and no justice. And so she had no other thing to do but to keep going back, even with no opportunity, no hope of vindication. But she kept going back to the judge to get taken care of what needed to be taken care of. Read that this week if you get a chance, because it's an interesting passage of Scripture on how just God is and how unjust some rulers are and how unjust some people are. She had no money, no influence, nothing, and yet she kept going back. And so when we look at this and we stop and think about that, we need, as a church, we need as a body of believers to become people that pray. I am a little disappointed. A few weeks ago, I asked for people that would say, "Hey, I want to be part of a prayer covenant team." I got two responses. One of them was me. And if prayer is such a fantastic thing and such a wonderful thing that we can do, did not we have all responded? And that's just a question I ask. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just telling you, those are the facts. And there are certain things that we can pray about as a prayer covenant group that we just don't want to put on a prayer chain. That I could pick up the phone and call somebody and say, "Hey, I need you to pray for this situation. I need you to pray about that." God's always sought people to be prayer intercessors. And when we just listen to that song, I can only imagine. Can we only imagine what prayer might do in someone's life? Can we only imagine what we might do when we walk into heaven and see someone that we prayed for? Can we only imagine what it might be like? Will I bow down? Will I say thank you? Will I go hug someone that I prayed for? Will they come hug me? We really can only imagine. But he's called us to pray. And he's called us to pray with faith. The Greek word for faith implies a meaning like this kind of faith. The question we have to ask ourselves is, when Jesus returns, will he see in me this kind of faith? Ezekiel said, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, that I would not destroy it. But I found not even one. Trying to get someone to stand in the gap of the wall and pray. God's sought people. God's still looking for people. We need people to stand in the gap and pray for our church. Pray for people like Robin that's hurting. Pray for people like the one sitting next to you. Well, what do I need to pray for them about? Pray they find a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray that they're safe. Pray that they're protected. Pray that they're healthy. Pray that they're prosperous. We need someone to stand in the gap between heaven and hell and say, I'm praying for someone this week that I can touch their lives because Jesus touched mine. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that being a disciple is giving away everything that you've received. Think about that. I mentioned earlier election. We need to stand in a gap and pray for our families. We all have family members that aren't here. We need to intercede for those people. And even if they're not here, if they're in a church somewhere, we need to stand in the gap and pray. This is going to hit some, it's not going to hit anybody here, but pray for complacent church members that think other things are more important. And I understand things come up. Don't get me wrong. But we can't put things between us and God and expect God to bless us. We just can't do it. I know things come up. And don't take this out of context. Because everyone in here knows what I'm talking about. We need people to stand in a gap and pray for kids that are involved in sports on Sunday. I see Todd shaking his head yes. There are kids that are losing generations of tradition of getting up on Sunday morning and getting dressed and going to church. Now I know, and I'm not putting Scott and Daniel on. I don't mean to embarrass them. But I said, we have a nursery. Daniel said, no, they'll be fine. And you know what? They haven't been fine, they've been perfect. We need to stand in the gap and pray for our country, pray for our leaders. Sometimes pray that we talked this morning. Pray before we say something. God, how would you have me say what I think needs to be said? What can I say to someone when I really want to get after them? We talked this morning about reacting versus responding. We need to respond to God's call. Never have we needed it any more than what we need it. October the 21st, 2018. Our nation's in turmoil. Our homes are in turmoil. Churches are in turmoil. Families are in turmoil. Businesses. Businesses that used to care about people, care about money. You can do both. We just need God. So I'm going to ask you to grab a hold of the hand of the person next to you, if somebody's sitting next to you. If they're not, I'm going to ask you to fold your hands. I want us to pour out our heart. God. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and we give you thanks. For Lord, you have founded a great nation. You founded a great people. You have given us a democracy. You have given us the freedom to worship. You have given us the ability to work and make money in the greatest capitalistic society in the world. But Father, we have made some of ourselves fat and lazy by living off the system. And Lord, if we're lazy in one area, we're probably lazy in a lot of areas. So Lord, as we've joined hands today, what we are saying is we are gathering ourselves at this moment in time. And Lord, we are lifting up each other and we're saying, Father, touch this hand I'm holding. Lord, bless their families. Bless their job, Lord. Let them abound. Lord, for those complacent church members, we lift them up. And Lord, we just ask that you speak to their hearts. If they don't want to come here, take them somewhere. Let their gifts, Lord, be used somewhere. Let them receive from other gifted Christians, Lord, to get and enjoy the fullness of what Jesus Christ can do in our lives. Lord, I thank you for these, your people. May you abundantly bless them, watch over them, keep them, walk with them. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.